Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Spirituality, psychic development, love and relationships, manifesting prosperity, and more. You now have access to the world's most renowned spiritual teachers, healers, psychics, and mediums as you join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hello, I am Steven, and you are listening to Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. I am a professional tarot reader and analytic astrologer, and you can find me over at PsychicAccess.com. And you know something? What I love the most about reading tarot cards and doing astrology professionally is that I get to really help folks. Last week, had a client to ask me about a really big, high-profile purchase. And a few days ago, this client just let me know how pleased she was with her investment decision. So tonight, I am on an emotional cloud of uplift and satisfaction and contentment. But it's not all about me. I am far from alone here. I have three co-hosts with me. Maureen, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much, Stephen.
Awesome. I'm glad to hear that. How do you help people over at PsychicAccess.com?
Well, I'm an intuitive psychic empath, and I utilize tarot cards as my main tool. And yes, it's quite okay. And I do, and my thing is, the tarot is a symbolic record of human experience. And I really enjoy helping people with their spiritual development.
Ah, yes. And you're very good at it. You know, I've watched you in action every Thursday evening, and I'm very, very impressed with the way that you are able to help people solve their problems. So we're glad that you could be with us tonight, Maureen.
Thank you.
Well, Steve, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Stephen. Great.
Oh, so happy to hear that. So why don't you tell us in the audience what you do for our guests and customers over at PsychicAccess.com?
Absolutely. I'm a psychic medium, which means I communicate with people that have passed through spirit. And it's wonderful to give evidence of the afterlife. There's nothing more healing. I'm also a hermetic astrologer. I enjoy using astrology to understand world events and also predict specific events in people's lives. And I was excited the other day to have a client tell me that I predicted the full name of her fiancé and husband.
Wow. Definitely impressive, Steve. Definitely. Well, Everly, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
Oh, I cannot complain. I'm very excited about your show tonight, and I cannot wait to hear what you've got planned for us. But first, before we get to that, can you just let all of us know about your psychic specialties and what you do over at PsychicAccess.com and all of that good stuff?
Absolutely. I am also a psychic medium. Okay. I use my empathic and intuitive abilities to tune into people's energy as well as people that are connected to them. Ah. So I can not only pick up on the person that I'm speaking with, but people around them.
Oh, that is awesome.
It enables me to kind of, if they have a question about someone in their life or somebody that's coming in their lives or anybody that is connected to them in any way possible, I can pick up on them as well. So basically that's pretty much it. I'm more of a, a mental medium, I think is what they say, what they call it. I'm not really into labels, but that's what I was classified as.
Well, that's a very interesting mix of talents. I would imagine that being a medium would make you naturally very empathic with others and able to really pick up on their energy very quickly.
Absolutely. It's wonderful because I can connect with what they're asking for, connect the energy. It's like puzzle pieces, like putting a puzzle together.
Oh, very, very, very good. And you know what? You have Miss Donna Smith McCreef with us tonight. So why don't you tell us a little bit about her?
Absolutely. I would love to. She is an excellent, I mean, she's just got the best personality. She began with a background in criminology and researching.
That's fascinating. So, criminology
and researching. And it led her kind of, and I'm going to let her expand on this, towards a path of using that background to kind of help her to see into the ongoing question, is there an afterlife? What happens when we die?
Oh, very interesting.
She has taken the stance of a person that is on, you know, completely, I haven't, she's not taking sides.
Oh, very nice. Well, I believe we have her here with us now, I think. So why don't you take it from here?
Donna?
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Donna, I'm good. I was just giving a brief background on you. And I was just letting them know that, you know, you've got 20 years experience conducting qualitative and quantitative research in the areas of criminology and health. Since 2009, you've applied scientific research background to your interest in the survival of consciousness or life after death.
That's me.
And just to broaden that out for our guests that are listening, you founded Metaphysics Research in 2009 to study mental and physical mediumship and other phenomena to increase awareness about the true nature of reality. And your primary intent is to help people understand how they can use spiritual energy to enhance the quality of their lives. Which, you know, later on in their interview, I would like to go to you telling us more about your research and how Medium 7, your book, came to be and the case studies and all of that.
Sure, happy to do that.
Okay. Well, let's see. First off, in my interest, I would like to know what made this transition happen? What brought you from the research aspect over to metaphysical research and really pursuing this to the point of doing case studies and publishing a book? And
okay, well, I guess that's a good question. A good place to start is all at the beginning. And I would just say that although I'm not a medium myself, I, in the early years, probably starting at the age of 10, had my own spiritual experiences. So I wouldn't, I almost hesitate to say that, you know, everything just started sort of, let's say, 10 years ago, because I'd almost say throughout my whole life I was having spiritual experiences, not a medium who would do this professionally, but so had sort of that predisposition to sort of wondering what really is the nature of reality, but specifically an incident that happened to me probably more into my early university years, probably just in my early 20s. I was visiting what I thought to be a psychic, because to me at that time I didn't really make a distinguish between psychics and mediums, and it was really only for fun. I was going with a friend, and this medium started telling me, I mean, my objective was really just to go there to find out maybe information about my future, you know, what information could they just generally tell me about career and love life, that kind of thing. Very
innocent. Yeah, just for fun, just to see what would come about of it.
Pardon me?
Just to see what would come out of it, really?
Exactly. Just, it was all based on curiosity, exactly. And what had happened is she started to tell me that my grandmother was there, and what specifically threw me was she stated my grandmother's name, and my grandmother's name is extremely specific. It's Beryl, B-E-R-Y-L, and she sort of laughed because she said, oh, I must be getting this wrong, because whose name would be Beryl, right, like a rolling barrel? And I explained
right.
that's an English name, B-E-R-Y-L. What's interesting about that, Everly, is that at that time, there was no internet, and not even like my grandmother would have had her name on the internet, but there really wasn't anything. And I think that was for me
like
the first
Ancestry.com, where, you know, she could have figured that out that way.
Exactly. There was no way. There was no information. In fact, the key part about that reading was she never had any information about me because it wasn't expected. I didn't make the appointment. I was with a friend, and she said, "Oh, do you want a reading as well?" So I thought, okay. So I think that was, for me, the first time that I realized that there's something more to this. Perhaps there is sort of life after death. And then I think that, for me, was just the sort of the start of that kind of thinking.
Okay. All right. And you mentioned, and I don't want to jump around, but I feel like it'll all tie in together, you know, once we get to the middle part of the show. But you mentioned that this specific medium mentioned a name.
Yes.
And that's part of what you addressed in Medium 7, correct? Is that,
yes,
not all
I think,
mediums?
Yeah. I think names, you know, in the research that I conducted with the 10 mediums, names, when we do focus groups is when you get a number of just the general public together, those who have diverse views, and you ask them a simple question: what would you need to know? What would you need to hear from a medium to have them verify for you or justify that life goes on beyond the physical death? What would you need to hear? And names, believe it or not, names of the deceased, names of their loved one, that they're actually there, it rates quite highly. And so it just happened to be coincidental that, for me, that was actually a big turning point for me. Because, again, it's not general, right?
Right.
There's
exactly.
Something like a 1 in 20,000 chance that someone could guess a name, which is way beyond probability, and so that we use that as an indicator in as good high level of evidence coming from a medium.
But do you feel like in your research that doesn't say, you know, a medium being able to state names does not quantify as a baseline for all mediums?
No, absolutely. No, and that's good that you raised that, because it's just generally, to do this kind of research, really there had to be sort of an assessment scale developed first as to what levels of evidence the mediums would provide during a reading, and then following up with their actual sitters, the individuals that they're reading for. Names is just one type of evidence that rates very highly. Another is the cause of death, the medium being able to name the cause of death. Another one that rates highly in the focus groups and used in our scale relates to a very unique piece of information. And I provide some of those kinds of cases that were brought up. And also intimation where the sitter, the medium is actually able to intimate very closely the way the deceased smiled or the way they said something. That rates very highly. And again, that information can't be identified from any other sources. And just to clarify, those things that are very low level of evidence are things that are very general, to saying things like, you know, your mother is with us and she loves you. That's what we consider very, we score that as no evidence because it's far too general and it's not specific and it's not a demonstration of evidence of survival of consciousness.
Okay. Whereas to someone that can say, okay, you know, I have a picture of thinning hair, but a big smile, and I interpret that as cancer, but the person was ready to go, so you need to know the person was happy or is happy now where they're at, more so than where they were when they were sick. That being confirmed is a higher level of validation.
Sorry, it's hard to hear because I think there's a bit of a breakup on the call, I think, a bit. So were you saying that they were seeing that the person was smiling?
Yeah, I was just giving you a for instance. So it would be a higher awareness or a higher rating, as you said, of mediumship if someone could describe a certain person, how they felt about their death, and then confirming maybe facial characteristics or personality characteristics and combining all these little puzzle pieces.
Yes. And perhaps I could give you an example of what we would score as high level of evidence. For example, I describe a case in the book about how very unique this situation was, where the medium was actually able to describe the contents of a picture above the sitter's fireplace. The sitter had lost her husband, and the medium was able to describe that there was a glass that the husband who was deceased was holding, and that everyone who walks through the house thinks it's beer, but the husband, only the husband and the sitter knew that it wasn't beer, it was just a glass of juice. That's what we consider high level of evidence, because it's so unique and it's so specific that there's just no other way that they could know that. So the description that you provided, for example, about the smile and that kind of thing would probably be score much lower, and not because it might not be helpful to the sitter. So we want to separate just a general reading versus what we call test mediumship in research, right? Because we're trying, the whole idea of this research is to be able to determine if there is life after death. So we use much more stringent levels of evidence. So it's not to say that when mediums provide any other evidence other than that, it can sometimes be very useful for the sitter, but it's not necessarily scored very highly to be determining survival of consciousness. So I just wanted to clarify the distinction there.
Right. So as far as your research goes, it wouldn't score very high.
That's exactly
that's
right.
What you're because, coming from,
yeah, we have so much. We have the burden of proof against us, right? Because there's so many rival theories and. Good skeptics. I mean, skeptics bring up things that, for example, if we don't have very high levels of evidence, we know that there are views that psychics and mediums are not getting information from discarnates being spiritual entities without a physical body. They could be saying that they're just reading the minds. So if we don't create certain very, very high standards, people are just going to say, your research is suggesting that people are reading minds. Or do you see what I'm saying, Everly? There has
yes,
to be that.
You have to be very, very careful in how you rate things and the steps you take to make sure that everything is done unbiased.
Exactly.
And I think from just the reviews that I read on your book, Medium 7, which I didn't even read until a few hours ago, because I had gone through some other things. I had gone through YouTube and other sources, but on Amazon, I believe it was Amazon, that I saw the reviews for your book and just raving reviews about how the case studies really represented the scientific aspect of it. And how the metaphysical end was tied into it, but it wasn't a biased case study. As
right.
A whole. Which I think is really, really important because it's hard to find books, in my opinion anyway. I don't know about the rest of my co-hosts, but it's hard to find books that aren't one side more so than the other.
Yeah, and absolutely, and it's difficult, right? You've got, I mean, let's put it this way: it's difficult to prove to people things that they can't see, despite the fact that we right now we're living in what we consider the galactic age, and the galactic age is an age where, for one, we live with wireless. Everything is wireless. We're driven. We're a population that's driven by things that we can't see. People are on their devices every 60 seconds, and you know what I mean, right? Your BlackBerry or your computer, and it's driven by wireless. Everything is what you can't see. So it's still surprising, though, that people still have difficulty with understanding that although they don't see their loved ones or people that they knew in this physical reality, that they're still there. But I think we do have a lot of people are starting to be able to understand that we are driven by the unforeseen world, the unseen world. And I think that some of this information has to be stringent enough because we're making extraordinary claims.
Yeah, and I like that the way that you present that. You know, the world is starting to realize that it's not always, you know, trust with your eyes, not with your heart.
Absolutely. And you know what, too, I think, Everly, is that people are having a lot of spiritual experiences. So I will still get very skeptics who will write, said, you know, I read your book. I'm now moving into a place where I'm understanding a bit more, but A, B, and C still doesn't make sense to me. But what really gets them is that they've, let's say, had an out-of-body experience, and they're trying to relate their out-of-body experience to what mediums do. And I tell them it's not very different. The fact is that if you're having an out-of-body experience, it's just another verification that your soul is, you are a spiritual being just living in a physical body in this reality, and you do... you do go to another reality, other dimensions where your soul can continue to create and co-create and reach the soul's purpose. And so people are having so many more personal experiences that they are going to start to really look at this more carefully, because we can't deny when we have our own experience. It's harder to just sort of sit there and read research. If you've never had a dream, you've never had a near-death experience, you've never seen a ghost, or it's very hard. And there, believe it or not, there are people out there that don't even dream. So they have no spiritual bone in their bodies at all.
I get that completely. And I think that's what's really important about the work that you do, in kind of closing the gap, because over the past 2.5-3 years, the gap between people that were strictly, you know, thought it was all of this stuff was just superstitious, and the people that maybe had some belief but weren't really open enough to it, and the people that were open to it, the gap is closing.
No, yeah, I would definitely agree with that. There's just a lot of, especially with the near-death experiences, I would say, and I do talk about that in my book, simply because I felt that although this book was devoted to an assessment of 10 mediums, I really needed to focus also on the complementary evidence, such as, for example, near-death experiences. We're in a time where our resuscitation techniques in the medical field are enhanced, and so people, when they're dead, there's a greater likelihood of them returning to life because of the resuscitation techniques, and they are able to come back. Big cases like Anita Morjani and Eben Alexander, who was a neurosurgeon, have come back with evidence that their souls continued, and they describe things that are verifiable while they were physically dead, and the medical community knew that they were dead because it was all recorded. So all of that information that we have, electric voice phenomena, near-death experiences, out-of-body experiences, energy healing, all complement what mediums have been saying for hundreds of years.
Right. So, I mean, now we're in a time where all of the two things that were so very separate, spiritual and scientific, are starting to merge.
Absolutely. And very good point. I like that point, because unfortunately they're considered separate. Although I would say some great scientists did study mediumship right after the advent of spiritualism. Many great scientists transformed from their previous work to study this actually later in their career, when they didn't care about being ridiculed, because it's worth it. And I didn't get to say at the beginning, there's a lot of people want to know why I do this. It wasn't just because I think mediums are fascinating and that I just wanted to look at that. Mediums help us see things we would never have been able to see. They provide a door to understanding the true nature of who we are. Where do we come from? what are we doing here and where are we going? They're, in fact, I almost would say that if we didn't have them, other than being able to go to another dimension, which, as you know, is very difficult and very costly to send people to another planet, which is impossible, really, we don't have any insight about the true nature of our reality or other dimensions unless we have people that can actually communicate with people in these different dimensions.
And on that note, I kind of want to go back to the more skeptical side, because I do feel like it's important for our audience to know that this was done just like any other scientific study would be done. You did not go into this going, oh, I'm going to prove that mediumship is a real thing and this is how it goes. That you explored the negatives, the possibilities of other people believing it, that it's evil or fraudulent, that kind of thing. That you did address that in your studies and in your book. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. Did you want me to say a bit about that?
Yeah, please.
Yeah. No, and that's true. And even before I say that, I've had a lot of people, I'm very fair. I remember I was at a book signing and somebody said to me, but Donna, truthfully, you must have had some belief for you to go and do 3 years just of a focus on studying 88 cases and 88 clients and 10 mediums and following them up over 3 years. You must have had some belief, because who's going to invest all that kind of time if you didn't believe? And I mean, it's a good point. I reflected on it. I mean, as I said, there were some experiences before that made me think, wow, this is worth serious investigation. So I wouldn't say I went into it totally, I'd be lying if I said I was fully objective, but I was objective as an objective person could be, let's put it that way, because I wanted to systematically look at it and lay it out. So some of the things that I discussed in the book, I felt I really needed to. And yes, I discussed fraud. So, for example, I'm not saying at all that there aren't mediums. And also in the history, when we look at the 20th century and some of the early mediums, there surely, unfortunately, has been. But just not disproportionate to any other profession that might have some kind of fraudulent behavior. The key area that I wanted to discuss was, unfortunately, the challenge related to religion. I think that that's our biggest barrier right now. Not to say that theoretically anything's wrong with religion, but unfortunately, the traditional religions do not accept mediumship.
Other than the church, it's either black or it's white, and there's no room for gray.
Absolutely. It's just the spiritualist church, which is how mediumship grew out of. The spiritualist church having mediums sort of head, you know, Lilydale in New York is the center of spiritualism, for example. And religion, and even if you, I talk about the witch trials, and I talk about the Salem witch trial, for example, and really look at that closely and really look at, you know, I have an academic background in sociology, so I looked at the social factors that contributed to that hysteria of killing really mediums. And when you really look at it closely, the religion mixed in with the fear and ignorance has unfortunately stayed over generations with us. And so even when you have people wanting to see a medium, I've often sat and observed cases where the sitter will say, you know, I shouldn't really do this, I'm Roman Catholic, and they tell me this is evil. So this is this whole background of religion and what mediums are doing, and sitters listening to the medium. Unfortunately, it's sort of integrated in our pop culture that this is evil, and it stops people from exploring the natural part of themselves. And it stops people from learning about the true nature of our reality, that we continue beyond our physical life. And one of the reasons why I think it was so important to bring out the challenges is, yes, to let people know that, you know, there are some problems. There's fraud. Some people expect that mediums are going to give them the answers, but there's a misunderstanding there. Mediums are not responsible for giving answers. They can facilitate information from the deceased or spirit guides or from other higher dimensions, but it's really the responsibility of the person to use that information in a very objective and responsible way. So I sort of lay out all the challenges that can happen with mediumship, but I still make a conclusion at the end that you have to use mediums very responsibly, and that there are limitations with what they can tell you, and that's not just because they're limited, it's because there's many factors that go into what you're going to hear.
I completely agree. Yeah. I really rely upon the word conduit. Mediums are conduits.
That's right.
But we don't control the energy or the messages, whatever you want to call it, that go through the conduit. That's just how it is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But unfortunately, a lot of people don't understand that, right? That was one key factor. We invited skeptics into this research, especially under the controlled situation where I didn't know the sitter, and the medium didn't know the sitter. It's what we call a double-blind study. And when the skeptics came in, they would ask me questions like, "Well, why didn't you prepare these questions for the medium to say, okay, what was the name of this person's grandmother? What was the name of?" And they don't understand that even if I did that, that doesn't mean that spirit is going to communicate that, because spirit decides, the discarnates decide what they're going to share, when they're going to share it, and how they're going to share it. And I think that's what I really tried to do in this research, was really appeal to the layman to help them understand a bit more, so they wouldn't just sort of close themselves down when they heard, oh, that medium must be a fraud because they can't tell me the name of my grandfather. Or can't make my grandfather talk to me. And see, they shut down, and without enhancing their awareness on how spirit works or what the limitations are, then they won't go further to explore who they really are. So that was my focus there.
Yeah, I totally get what you're saying, because if your mind is going to be shut out to it, and you're going to go into it and not even be willing to open up, then it's just not going to go well at all. No matter how much you wanted to.
Yeah. It's funny that you mentioned that, because this is probably a good time to mention what we call the non-believers experiments. And the non-believers piece was, I would call it a subsection of this study, because when I started to analyze the results at midway, about a year and a half, I started to notice that, wow, I'm getting all females mostly. And this could be what we call selection bias, because these are the sitters that are going to see mediums. Maybe they already believe in mediums. So what I did is I prepared a control of just males who were non-believers. And this was also, had an independent recruiter recruit the sitters just based on those two criteria alone, just that they're males and non-believer. And one, which is on YouTube, people can watch. The other ones were good too, but I didn't get consent to put them on video.
What can they look up to get to that video?
Yeah, that video is called Life After Death, a Medium's, I've just caught me off guard with the detail on that one. But it's all of my YouTube videos
sure
are under Donna Moncrief, not Donna Smith Moncrief, but Donna Moncrief. And that just, it'll pop up. You can't miss it, because it's about, you'll see the male who's being interviewed. It's just what you were saying, Everly. You were saying sort of if they're shut down, that creates a negative energy that could prohibit the information. But what was amazing about some of these cases was that it didn't matter that they were negative and they were non-believers, because the need was so important. And Chad, which was on this particular video, his friend, didn't know this until he disclosed it during the experiment, but he had lost a friend just a week to 2 weeks before, and the medium picked up the name, picked up details live in a controlled experiment on video about this person. He broke down because he only came for the $40 honorarium we were giving him, had no right. idea that anyone was going to pick up this friend and the details about his friend and how he died and so forth. So what I would say to that is, although there was negative energy and that there was a non-belief for sure, what transcended the information coming through was spirit felt it was important for this person to know, and there was a need because he needed to heal. You could see him break down in the video. In fact, he leaves. You can see him leaving. I have to kind of beg him to come back because he just can't believe. And then there's a post-interview with him after he's relaxed for a few minutes and he's able to kind of absorb what just happened. So what we do know is that even though you may have negative energy and you might, you know, it's only one factor. It doesn't necessarily blow the whole reading.
No, not at all. But if you're, it's kind of like, what I like to call it is parlor trick. If someone says, okay, I'm here, what do you have to tell me? And you're kind of going,
yes, that can be off-putting for sure.
Yeah. But then there's other times when it's, you know, people are calling for, okay, I'm considering applying for a promotion within my company. Can you tell me about that? And then it's just overwhelming. The spirit comes in and says something about a past relative. And you just kind of have to go with the flow. But if somebody's completely shut out, they don't want to bend either any way. They just want the question that they asked answered specifically. And it doesn't work that way.
Such a critical point you're making. And this is, again, why I go into a whole chapter on 8 different factors that contribute to an enhanced communication in a reading. Because people would just believe it's just the medium. In other words, in that case that you just brought up, they would say, immediately, if you couldn't answer it, you're a fraud or you're not a good medium. When in fact, again, I found when people would actually ask questions that were not part of what the medium was getting, much lower levels of evidence, almost a no connection, because the medium is just getting information that they get. And I found when the sitters were asking questions, there was no connection. Or relatively less, I should say,
I am very sorry to interrupt, but we do need to take a 1 minute psychicaccess.com commercial, okay? And we'll be right back in 1 minute.
A new era in psychic services has begun. Psychicaccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
And we're back. And Donna, I wanted to, I know we're only 40 minutes into the show, but...
Wow, time is flying.
Yeah.
That means we're having fun.
I know there was one thing that just really popped out to me that I really thought was important to get out, and it's part of what you go over in Medium 7, is the 10 different medium types that you identified.
Yes.
Go
ahead.
Yeah, I was just wondering if you could kind of go over the different types and just a brief explanation of what each type is, so that people that are listening that may think that may have abilities can identify with one or the other or multiple, or just are looking for a basic understanding of different types of mediums.
Okay, sure. So What I'll just say firstly is just a small preamble to that is that all of the mediums in their interviews for their case studies were asked to provide information about their backgrounds, because I thought it was important for people to understand if there was any kind of physical difference, whether they started, you know, when they started, the early years of their psychic development, preparation prior to a reading, description of their extrasensory abilities, because all of them, I didn't want to assume that they had all or that they were all clairvoyant, and the explanation of their extrasensory abilities. So, for example, one of the first case studies, Bro Perkins, one of the things that stands out from him that was different and why I made him a full case study is because he does both. So he can connect with the discarnates, but he also has the ability to read the blueprint, which is like the Akashic Records. Not all mediums can do that. And just for the audience, in case they're not aware fully of that, it's this, in layman's language, it's the book of records. Everything that has happened to us as a community, as a society, is recorded in the Akashic Records. So really how I go through his background and how he would blurt out things and get in trouble in school, and, you know, so you knew that he, as growing up, he had these psychic abilities. But I try to do my very best to really explain the mechanism, for example, of how he would see the Akashic Records, and I describe how he, you know, he's looking through his third eye and reading it like a movie, which explains to the sitter why they can't interrupt him and talk to him, because he'll miss pieces of the movie. And so I go into that type of case study, and also discuss the Bro's mediumship. Another type of case study that I talk about, for example, is John Papia, who is very unique because that's like a medical intuitive type medium, where he was actually even having difficulty with me calling him a medium. And I said to him, John, if you're going to be in the book, I can't change the title for you, because the title's already Medium 7. But just to clarify, I mean, it is difficult to put people in little boxes, but the truth is what he saw, and his is an amazing case, because he was embarrassed that he could see colors, and he thought everybody else could see colors around their heads. And it's quite, actually, it's a little bit comical. But the point is that he sees the aura, and he is able to diagnose. And I interviewed his cases where literally were life-saving for them. And so through the colors, he's able to diagnose, which is really the form of energy healing. So that's another type of medium. And then Carolyn Mulner, she's in there because she actually exhibits all the types of extrasensory. She uses the clairvoyance, both indirect and direct, as well as the clairsentience, which is like clairempathy, but also taste. And which is rare for mediums, can get information through taste, and then clairaudience. So with this medium, what that signifies for this case is how basically, although a medium can have all five of the extrasensory perceptions, she still talks about how one is stronger than the other, and the others are almost, she asks spirit to help those other ones complement her stronger one. So that case study brings out the interaction of the different extrasensory perceptions,
right.
And then I go on. I mean, there's many, many different categories, and then I synthesize at the end some of the key trends.
Wow, I don't know what else to say, but wow. I don't know if I missed it, but is there a category or a, you have a, out of the 10, is there a physical medium?
Oh, good, yeah, great, good question, Everly. In fact, at the time of researching and writing this, yes, Reverend Goldsby was interviewed. He didn't get a full-blown case study, but he was an elderly medium who has had a great experience in the Church of Spiritualism, including his ancestors, and he started to talk about some of the seances and some of the physical mediumship he did. But one of the things why I didn't discuss physical mediumship in this particular book is because physical mediumship, first of all, the mediums are extremely rare in the world, and they're extraordinary claims, right? Physical mediumship being that they can actually, as opposed to mental mediumship, is what I'm discussing in the book. Physical mediumship, there are claims that they can produce apports, right? Things that materialize from nowhere, produce ectoplasm from their body.
I was making a more simple, just to clarify, a medium that can actually feel the physical pain of someone.
Oh, okay, clairempathy. Okay, so that's clairsentience. Yes, so many of the mediums, in fact, all of them in the case study, a lot of them talked about clairsentience. But specifically, some of them use the term clairempathy and clairsentience interchangeably, but Bro specifically talked about an incident, which I think was extremely clear, where he actually felt like he was being strangled before he opened the door to a sitter and was almost going to call 911, couldn't breathe, and he was new to this feeling. And as soon as the sitter came in, because he decided to open the door, and he started to talk about, this bro just started to talk about, did you have a grandfather, for example, or a brother, I can't remember the relationship, that died of strangulation or something like that. It's something to do with this. And as soon as he started to talk about it, the pain went away. And that was absolutely, that was Spirit's way of communicating, because he did not feel that the medium was going to be able to explain that type of medical problem. So he made him feel it.
Got you. I understand that. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to jump from what you were talking about, because I think that this is going to be interesting to everyone listening is the physical.
Oh, no worries. As soon as you said physical medium, I jumped into a whole separate category. But so clairempathy, just to clarify for the audience, so clairempathy, the one that you were looking for, is definitely not... we don't categorize that as physical mediumship. That's just something that they, it's an extrasensory perception that the mental medium uses to communicate with discarnate.
Right. But I am extremely interested, and I think everybody else will be, to hear about, because I think, doesn't this lead into your case studies and the research you're doing right now for your next study?
Yes, so you mean on the physical mediumship?
Yes.
Yes, I'm truly excited about this aspect, the current research that I'm doing, and just sort of to slip back into what I was saying about when I was writing Medium 7. Many of the mediums talked a bit around physical mediumship, or especially Carolyn, she talked about actually going to a seance where a hand materialized in the seance. And I was so hesitant to write about it because the way I work is through my own experiences and enough triangulated information to make me feel like I can actually say this. I mean, the reason why I make this preamble before I talk about physical mediumship is we have to be so responsible as researchers in what we are actually sharing, because it influences how people think, and I would never want to lead people astray. So I didn't talk too much about physical mediumship, even though the mental mediums referred to some of it. But now I've had an opportunity in my second round of research to connect with some great people who have, we call it the snowball effect. You get recommendations from people. And now I understand that there are about 4 physical mediums in the world today that actually produce ectoplasm. And just for the audience, I don't want to assume that everybody knows that term, but I always say in my talks, if you saw Ghostbusters, then you know what ectoplasm is.
Yeah, I was about to say, Ghostbusters ectoplasm?
In Ghostbusters, that's the first time probably all of us heard the term ectoplasm, because it was a slimy green thing that they were talking about in Ghostbusters. And I believe that, correct me if I'm wrong, was that movie in the 80s?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think it was. And the bottom line is there was some truth to that slimy green thing they were talking about, because ectoplasm is something that comes out of the physical medium. And it's built up from the body, the energy within the physical medium. And it's produced so that the spirit world can do physical things. That's why it's called physical medium. Can actually either materialize parts of their body. They can actually use their voice through this. It's called direct voice. They can actually produce apports. I feel much more comfortable talking about it now that I'm interviewing these physical mediums, and I will actually, for the first time, be able to sit in on a seance with one of the top physical mediums in the world to see this happen myself.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I wish more people could do it. It's so exciting.
I'd love to. I have heard of, and I don't know if this is a term that you might be familiar with. I mean, everybody uses different terms for different things, but a lot of times I've heard the word controller. If you're going to allow something to physically take control of your physical being, it's important that you have a controller next to you to help regulate things, or things can go badly wrong.
Absolutely, and that's a big part of physical mediumship. A lot of the mediums that I'm, the physical mediums that I'm interviewing, have a control team. They call it, some call it the spirit team. Mm-hmm. And as I said, I feel premature in talking about it because my evidence is just premature right now, and there's no synthesis yet. And as I was sharing, I need to see it first because right now it's more at the oral and theoretical stage for me. But
the reason why I asked the question is because, and I'll this will be my question to you.
Yes.
I was warned about channeling. Don't channel until you have somebody that you know that you're comfortable so much with that you can trust your life to them. Because if you channel and something takes over and you don't have a controller, things can just go really, really bad to the point of death. And I remember that person telling me that, and just was wondering if you had come across anything like that in your case studies or in what you're doing right now.
Okay, so now that's very helpful that you provided that context. Interesting that you would talk about channeling, because I have to tell you, I didn't come across that with the mediums. However, in the physical mediumship, the only angle that I can share at this point is to say that in terms of physical mediumship, which some would put channeling under there, but again, remember that issue about putting things into boxes. Some channelers don't like to be considered physical mediums, right? But absolutely, they will not work without a spirit team because they do go into trance and something does take over their body. In terms of being able to speak, coming through the ectoplasm. And in that particular, the reason why the world doesn't know about this too much is because they're very selective about who will go into the seance. Because if people don't operate properly in the seance and they try to reach out or they move or they're not following the instructions, it could actually kill the medium, and that did happen to Helen Duncan when the police raided her in the 20th century. She was doing materializations, and police raided her, and which what happened is that created unexpected movement for the spirit team and for the sitters and the energy, and it blew the ectoplasm right back into her body. And she was rushed to the hospital with second-degree burns, which were seen all over the body and were unexplainable and could have only been the ectoplasm. Then she died within 3 days. So, and that people can look up Helen Duncan. It was a tragedy for this physical medium. But to come back to you in terms of the channeling, I would take that a bit of that information and use it to sort of support, at least to say, I think that was good advice in terms of making sure that you have the right supports, not only just through the spirit team, but also with the person on the ground who's ensuring that, you know, you are your physical body is protected from what you're going through.
Right. And I don't presume that you agree with me about this, but there's a lot of media out there right now. There's a lot of curiosity. Like we said, people are coming into more of an awareness. They're more open to it now. So, but you can't play with it. You have to really pay attention to people like yourself, people that do the case studies and know the ins and outs, what's safe, what's not safe, how to protect yourself. It's not something like tennis. You can't just dabble in it. You can't go into it and be like, oh, well, you know, worst that'll happen is I lose the match. And it's just that, I think that encompasses everything in metaphysical terms. You just really have to know what you're getting into for the safety of yourself and others.
Yes, and I like that word that you used, something, you used the word play, and I caught on to that too, because, so for example, the Ouija board, people always ask, so Donna, what do you think about the Ouija board? And the whole playing piece is exactly a part of what you said is very important for the public to understand, is that when you work with either mediums or you're using, you know, you're testing electric voice phenomena, which is trying to connect through radio or through TV, that kind of thing, your intent has to be pure. The intent has to be for the greater good of the world. And that, I know my intent is for that purpose only. If you go into it just to play and see if you can connect with demons and you can do
or
all that.
Or be a jerk or just, you know.
Yes. Spirit will give you that. And there is the discussion of that in the book, that you play, they're going to play with you. And that's unfortunately why the Ouija board has gotten such a bad name, is because people are inexperienced, they're not protecting themselves, they're opening up portals, and they're actually playing, and so spirit comes back and plays, and that playing can become dangerous, unfortunately. And so when people, remember what we were talking about earlier about religion and the negative rap that mediumship had, and that's because it really goes back to your great point that you were making, is that it can't be the intent just to experiment and play and look for ghosts because you want to have a really exciting thriller night. That's harmful. And we can create demonic experiences for ourselves because we create our own reality. And so yeah, the intent with going to see a medium or going to do physical mediumship, for example, sitting in a seance, cannot be for fun and games.
No, it can. And you can't just, you know, sit there and watch, you know, whatever type of show might be on, you know, on NBC, ABC, whatever, on hunting ghosts, that type of thing, and just go, hey, I'm going to get two of my friends, and we're going to go to this abandoned farmhouse that I know of, and just go do this. You cannot do that, because
Sorry. We have unfortunately run out of time. Please forgive me for interrupting, but we need to wind it down if at all possible.
Okay. Well, Donna.
Wow, that was fast.
Donna?
Yes?
Okay. Last thing that I wanted to go over with you is your new research is near death, out of body, and physical mediumship, and your website is metaphysicsresearch.com, is that correct?
No, it's www.medium7.com.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right, and there you can find information on the Medium 7 book, which I think that everybody should read. And also, can they find information as well on what your future ventures are? Because I know you have stuff coming up.
Yes, so some of that is going to be posted on my YouTube channel, which is under the name Donna Moncrief. Some of the upcoming research on energy healing, also the outcomes of the physical mediumship, and some of my work on past life regression. And hopefully we'll be updating that website very soon. And the name of the book, the full name is Medium 7, Evidence of the Afterlife and Prediction.
Okay. All right. And then she's also got a bunch of Mothers Against Drunk Drivers. Just what did you call them before? Photo clips?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear your question.
There's a bunch of just clips of Donna doing studies on YouTube, and just pull up, just type in her name and it will show you everything. And there's just so much that you could watch on her and the work she's done. It's incredible. So,
yeah. And thank you very much for inviting me, Everly. It was a joy talking to you.
Oh, it was wonderful for me to talk to you too. And I hope to hear more from you, you know, as your next book comes to be and progresses and all that.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Have a good evening.
All right, thank you, Donna.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Big thanks to Donna Smith Moncrief. You can find her at medium7.com. That's 7, the numeral 7. Medium, the numeral 7.com. I'd like to take a moment to make a few announcements here. We are far from done. Be sure to stay tuned for the second hour of the show, where you will have an hour to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We'll announce that call-in number later, so have your pen and paper handy. If you couldn't catch Maureen's show last week on the Essential Les Normands, you'll be happy to learn that you can find a recorded archive link as well as archives to all previous shows on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com under the Archives tab. Never miss your favorite psychic radio show ever again. It's all there for posterity forever. I strongly urge you to check out that archive. Now, please spread those archive links and the future show details with your friends and family around the internet. It's our goal to connect with as many of you as possible. So please share that link and the light of knowledge and comfort that it brings with others. Facebook, share it, tweet it, get it out there on social media. We appreciate that. Be sure to visit psychicbloggers.com to learn about everything related to metaphysics and spiritual matters for free. Everything from reincarnation to soulmate seeking to developing your own psychic abilities is there. I believe I have a little competition there, eh?
Nobody can hear you, Steve, in the chat room, I don't think. It's okay. Keep going.
Okay. Sorry. As I was saying, please be sure to visit psychicbloggers.com to learn about everything related to metaphysics and spiritual matters for free. Everything from reincarnation to soulmate seeking. Psychicbloggers.com, spread the word. If you need a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to discover more about them. You can choose from a list of some of the most authentically gifted psychics around. It's an honor working with Doug and the Psychic Access team because of the high expectations required of each psychic. All of the co-hosts here on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com work at Psychic Access. And if you'd like a detailed personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit us at PsychicAccess.com. We'd love to hear from you. By the way, site owners, webmasters, you can earn 50 cents per minute on every reading for traffic that's referred to PsychicAccess.com. For more details, visit PsychicAccess.com/webmasters. If you like our show, please invite your friends to join us in our chat room. We want all of you to listen to The Psychic Viewpoint. There's something for everyone, so please spread the word. We appreciate it. Everly, back to you. Everly.
Yes, I'm here. I'm sorry. I'm dialing.
Okay. This is the banter part, so you're going to take control of this banter, and now it's time for all of us to give our opinions about the interview.
All right. Steve, hey.
Hey there. I loved the interview. Really interesting.
Thank you. Wasn't it just intriguing? Because you're a medium, too, so I know that. I mean, I don't really put titles on things. I don't like the whole Claire's stuff. I can't remember them, so I don't even try to. But
well, I really enjoyed it. You know, I love anything about mediumship. It's a great passion of mine, and I love that your guest was so well informed, so well researched. The Helen Duncan case is an absolutely fascinating case, and she did indeed die shortly after a shock in a physical seance. So I love that she was explaining some of the practical realities of physical mediumship, because it's so important that physical mediumship is conducted the right way. It can be very dangerous. And I like the fact that she's doing research into physical mediumship as well, because...
Absolutely. That's going to be her, I believe she said 2015, is going to be based a lot around that, which I find extremely interesting, because there's someone that is very well known in TV that has voiced the opinion of wanting to be to go investigate for the point of being possessed. And I just, when I heard that, my brain wanted to explode. I was like, why would you go and look for that? That's like, you know, going, hey, I'm looking for Jack the Ripper. I got a free body to offer.
So this person wants to actually try and... induce possession.
Exactly. And
that's crazy.
But it would be broadcast on a national level, which is even scarier.
That's crazy, because any time you focused on such a negative entity, it's encouraging that energy. And if that is on the television, it really amplifies that energy. That really worries me.
If you want to take that upon yourself and you realize what you're doing, I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm not saying that it's healthy, but to expose that to, you know, 13-year-olds and up, who are that, you know, kind of genre that are watching the show, is just completely irresponsible and really... I could go on a soapbox for 4 hours on that.
Well, that's frustrating, because you've got people like your wonderful guest who's doing great research to validate this evidence that's received from people in spirit. And then on the other hand, you've got people that are being really irresponsible, trying to broadcast a possession. That's sad.
That is very sad. So, I think the more information that people can get from not just people like Donna that do it from both ends, she's not favoring one side to the other. I mean, she may have her personal beliefs, but she still approaches it from her background, her need to discover things on the level of research and proof.
Yes. Yeah, there need to be more people doing that kind of research. Mediumship's absolutely amazing, as you know. There's nothing more healing than helping somebody to understand in very concrete terms that somebody they love continues to exist, that there isn't a death, there's a physical death, but that we continue on from that point. So... all of the work that we do to help people understand that we don't die is wonderful, but all of the work that people like your guests do to validate mediumship through their qualitative and quantitative research is so important. We need a lot of people doing that.
We do. And, you know, Mo, you were integral in... Stephen, I need you to be quiet. Maureen, you were integral when I came on to Psychic Access.
Yeah, when you came on me. Yes. You're okay. Sweet.
Yeah, seriously. showing me, you know, it's you know, things can be confusing, and it's natural for it to be confusing to the person that's giving the information, because mm-hmm. there's so many different styles, just like what Donna was talking about. You know, she identified 10 different types of mediums, 10 different types. And that was amazing even unto myself, because, I mean, I think we tend not to think outside of our own abilities, so we depend upon others to describe how they do things and perceive things to really understand where they're coming from.
Exactly. I think that was she was a fantastic guest. And the show topic, I don't think we've ever had one on from the beginning like this. It was really, really good, Everly. I'm really glad that you brought this on, because there's a lot of people that do controlled. She's talking about focus groups. I've done focus groups, not in for mediums, but I've focus groups for other products and so on. But she was really something interesting. I love the 10 different types of mediums, because we used to talk about that a couple of years ago, you and I, actually, I remember, and about you and about, you know, how do you classify yourself in particular areas. But I really thought what she was saying is that she's doing controlled studies. And it's not whether she, you know, thinks they're right or wrong or whatever, but they do exist. The science is coming together with the spiritual. So, and how different we all do for mediums. I don't see myself as a medium, but I don't label myself as a medium, but I do know that I have with some people. I'm a mental medium like you are. And mentally out there, but where I get my empathic mediumship comes through. So, and I don't know, Stephen, what do you think about the mediumship?
Oh, well, I think it's an interesting, a completely fascinating discipline, because the questions that it raises are very important. I think, you know, what happens to the consciousness after death? I mean, if a medium tells me my Uncle Sal, you know, is giving me advice, you know, I'm very curious about that, because I would expect that when my Uncle Sal enters into the afterlife, that he's no longer Uncle Sal anymore. You know, so I'm wondering if there's a difference. You know, for some people, their memories, I suppose, get erased when they pass into spirit. I think this process of forgetting is pretty important in the overall sweep of reincarnation. You know, a lot of people, I think, they pinpoint the in-between areas, between lives, and they look at this as being eternity. I don't really so much see it that way. And so I'm very fascinated when spirits sort of get stuck in that in-between place and they retain their identities. And this is what really interests me as far as mediumship is concerned. However, I'm thinking that the quality of information that comes through would also depend on the quality of the spirit that's giving the information. No, as above, so below. If there are liars and thieves and gangsters on earth, then why aren't there going to be liars and thieves and gangsters in the spirit world as well?
There absolutely is. I mean, just experiencing it myself. I mean, but you can tell if you use your other senses on top of the mediumship. I mean, you can tell what type of person this is, what their end game is. It's just like, right. I keep going back to puzzle pieces, but that's essentially how it is. And I think really just coming back into things, I don't know where this led to, but I mean, I'm passionate about this, kind of trying to decipher the end game of whoever it is that you're trying to communicate with, or whoever's trying to communicate with you. Children are the most difficult for me, anyway.
I've seen plenty of evidence, like with my own eyes, through my colleagues and other friends who are me, you know, and it never fails to just raise goosebumps on my arms whenever there is a legitimate communication between a medium and a spirit on the other side. It's a beautiful experience, and you know, it's such a shame that superstitious people in the past have really tried to, you know, silence some of the more talented mediums. You know, it's a fascinating field of study.
It is fascinating, and it is sad, but I mean, it's the nature of humanity. It's what traditionally we all side with, what's safe is comfortable. And it takes a stronger spirituality, which is ironic, because the ones I believe that feel like they're truly being faithful to their spirituality are the ones that are so closed off to it.
Right. Right.
And okay. The ones that are more open are the ones that are willing and able to experience what is actually happening around them spiritually.
Well, you know what? Let me, before we get too involved in this conversation, let me just go ahead and announce the call-in number for the phone lines. That number is 724-444-4851. Each call will automatically be placed on hold and will be answered in the order received. You'll hear the show to help you relax during the wait. When you get on the air, we ask that you're very clear and direct with your one question. We can only take one question per person in the interest of fairness to others. So please restrict your call to one question. And again, that number is 724-444-4851. The phone lines, I'm not sure if they're quite open yet. However, when they do open, that will be the number to call, and we'll announce that number a little bit later. Okay, I'm sorry about that, Everly. I just wanted to sort of get that out there. But I just wanted to tell you that I love Miss Smith Moncrief because her inquisitiveness about it. She, as an investigator, she seems to be going about this with in a very methodical, organized way.
I know, and I love that because I mean, you see all these shows and all these stories about investigators. She is a true investigator, in my opinion. Because if you're going to be an investigator, you have to be able to see both sides and add them together and say, okay, this holds more weight than this side.
And, right.
You know, right. Regardless of what I believe or what I feel or what I hear or what I get, I couldn't do that myself. I couldn't because I'm so...
involved. Sure.
Yeah.
and so I know personally I'm going to pick up a copy of Medium 7. Listening to her talk tonight made me very curious about that book because, again, she's so rational about this. You know, she's highly educated, and I just really appreciate her method. And so I think her book will be a good resource for non-mediums who are perhaps hoping to learn more about mediumship and maybe, you know, open themselves up perhaps even eventually to, you know, experience some communication with the spirit world themselves. Fascinating lady.
Even outside of that, even if you're not interested in that kind of stuff whatsoever and you're just going, okay, I just want something different. I constantly read mystery or I constantly read romance or whatever. I just want to get out of the box and I want to read something that I can just, it's whatever. So you go to the bookstore just by reading excerpts and bits and pieces of the case studies and the reviews from these books and the diversity of the people that have read this book and posted reviews.
Right.
It's just, it's amazing because it's pretty much a book that anybody could read and be, I mean, even if you don't believe, it would still cause you to stop and think.
You know what? What's interesting to me is that mediumship seemed, and correct me if I'm wrong, this is my question. Mediumship seems to me, I'm not a medium, I think that's clear, to be a rather passive sort of situation. This is my sort of ignorant type of observation on what mediumship is, and what I'm hoping to get is some clarity here. Is it more active than that, or are you just like a passive instrument for what's coming into you, or can you take an active approach to this?
You can take an active approach. It depends upon the type of medium that you are. And it also depends upon whether or not spirit is as aggressive as you are. Do they want to communicate as badly as you're trying to connect with them to get the information? Like I'll throw in one reading, for example. There was a lady that called me that wanted to know if her father was sorry for the distance between the two of them before he passed. And I got an image of a golden retriever. And so I kind of laughed to myself and I was like, there's a good, keep showing me a golden retriever. And she said, well, we had a golden retriever. And when I left the house, I guess when they, you know, decided, or she decided she was just going to go her own way and move out, whatever. She took the golden retriever.
Huh.
And, I said, well, I see the golden retriever and he's playing with the golden retriever. I said, and he's got it, but he's kind of shooing it away, not making it leave, but just saying, go over there for a minute.
Right.
And she said that he did have a golden, they had a golden retriever, and when he passed, she still had the dog. The dog passed. So the dog was now, so I'm putting the puzzle pieces together. I'm okay. The dog's there. So you're asking me if, you know,
right,
everything's good between the two of you, basically. Mm-hmm. And if he understands the pain that was caused before you, he passed. And his signal is sending this golden retriever back to you.
That's very interesting.
And she was able to understand that. So I, you know, sometimes I have to relay the puzzle pieces. It's not all cut and dry.
I think, and again, this is just my sort of ignorant opinion, but I think that's one of the big values of mediumship, not so much in the message that comes through, but in the fact that there's a message at all. You know what I mean? It's that this verification of an afterlife for me, which is demonstrated every time I see a legitimate medium work, that to me is very, very valuable and comforting.
I think, Stephen, though, that mediumship, everyone's able to do mediumship. It's a question of tuning in. So I just wanted to make that point that I think we can all connect with spirit, and we all do.
Right. Yeah. And you know what? I really wish that we could talk about this some more, but we are actually having some electrical difficulties on our end, and it looks as if we might have to adjourn a little bit early tonight, you guys. So with that said, I would like to conclude this show for right now. Big thanks to Doug, who works behind the scenes to make all of this happen. Thank you very much for that. I would also like to thank my colleagues, Maureen, Everly, and Steve, for adding their special light and magic to the show tonight. And thanks to you, the faithful listeners, for joining us and making Psychic Viewpoint an awesome place to be every single Thursday night. And I believe, who do we have next week? Would that be you, Steve? Or is it Maureen? No, Maureen was last week.
No,
that's you.
It's my show, absolutely. Ah. We've got a fantastic show next week, Stephen.
Nice.
We're going to be talking about the prenatal eclipse. Yes, so you'll really enjoy it. So we're looking at
Can you define real quick, Steve? Prenatal eclipse.
Sorry?
Can you define that for me real quick? Just a quick prenatal.
She wants to know what the prenatal eclipse is. Why don't you tell us? That's actually good.
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
So basically, whenever you're born, you identify the previous solar eclipse, and when you plot that that eclipse, your prenatal eclipse, into your natal chart, it actually reveals a lot of additional information. It's very interesting.
I'm excited to listen to that, because I'm really not into astrology or anything. And
Yes, it will be great. And we've got a wonderful guest called Sandra Lee Serio, and she has published an article recently in the Mountain Astrologer just about, specifically about the prenatal eclipse. So we're really excited to have her with us next week.
Okay.
Well, I can't wait for this to happen, Steve. Your shows are always quite fascinating to me, so you don't want to miss that. We're going to have the topic is prenatal eclipses next Thursday night, same time, same place. We hope you have a great week. We hope you have a wonderful night. From all of us to all of you, we wish you prosperity, health, and happiness. See you next week.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers, get access, psychic access, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, psychicaccess.com.